The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag.
It's a moment and a game that kids dream about as they're growing up, learning the game of basketball.
Fight.
Yo, 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 what's up? And welcome to the Hashtag Lakers Podcast, presented by BetOnline.ag. I'm Yo Legazzo. I'm joined by some special guests on the show today to help us do a player preview for Carmelo Anthony. So we'd like to welcome Rob Hetherington and Corbin Ford, who joins us from Blazing the Path Podcast, covering the Portland Trailblazers. Rob, Corbin, welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thank you for having us on.
Yeah, it's an honor and a pleasure, man.
So before we get started and talk about Carmelo Anthony, tell us a little bit about yourselves. Tell the audience about yourselves and sort of your podcast.
I'm going to throw it over to Rob.
I was just about to throw it over to you, bro. All right, so I'm Rob Hetherington. It's a pleasure to be on Hashtag Lakers for the first time. Always been a fan of the whole NBA, so I got a lot of love for Kobe and LeBron and AD. Respect for what they do and respect for what you guys do at Hashtag Lakers. It's been awesome to see you guys expand constantly. Remember a little bit of your time at Hoop Heads, how well you guys did on Hoop Heads. Ran by Mike Klinzing. Myself, I just joined Hoop Heads last year, right around the beginning of the season, did a little season preview, get going a little bit, get some momentum going. And then Joel Lincoln was actually my first co-host. He had to take a step back just because with the pandemic, they lifted some restrictions. So he was able to go back to full-time coaching the varsity team in Oregon. So he did take a step back, but definitely still keep in touch with him and definitely plan to, you know, do some things with him, have him as a guest when his schedule frees. But right now, myself and Corbin run Blazing the Path. Really excited. We just got started, released our season preview actually last Sunday into Monday.
Nice.
Very excited to get the season going. And yeah, that's all it really is about me. I actually found Hoop Heads through my high school basketball coach, Eric Klump, probably one of the best teachers I've ever had in any, you know, going to college, going to high school, trade school, one of the best teachers and coaches I've ever had. And a very loving person, carrying Christian and everything like that. And he had joined Beyond the Ball with Hoopheads, and I saw that they were looking for some team podcasts. So I hit up Mike Klinzing, and it's been a blessing ever since the day I first talked to him. Just very good promotion, very positive, very professional network. Everyone he has on, he takes a little bit of time to talk to, feel them out before he has them on. And so it's been exciting. And then this year, of course, very exciting. Going to hopefully have the beat writer for the Blazers for Sports Illustrated on around the time of the season start, somewhere between then and the Christmas Day games, just so that someone of that renown gets an episode with us, you know, where people are really listening to basketball podcasts at the heart of the start of the season. And that's pretty much it about me, Corbin.
Well, I mean, I'm fairly the new guy here on this show. Rob asked me, I was happy to be a part of this. Excited just to kind of see how the season goes. Big NBA fan, like Rob said, Lakers fan first. So it's kind of funny to be on this show and kind of come full circle in that way. But I've done a couple pods over the last couple of years, love doing them, love talking basketball. So I'm excited to get to this one today.
Sweet, man. Excited to have you both on today. And we're going to talk about Melo, like I said, from the start of the pod. So why don't we go ahead and talk about Melo's tenure with the Blazers, right? I know everyone knows by now, you know, what happened, right? He was in the brink of not being in the league anymore until Portland picked him up. And he really, really, really carved out a nice role for himself over there. So let's talk about that and sort of how he performed for the Blazers.
I mean, Carmelo start, I think... Rob, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump on real quick. Just talking about just how Carmelo was found his way to Portland, I think was a blessing for his career. I mean, obviously it extended his career because, you know, no team was picking him up after, you know, you've gone from Oklahoma City to that failed stint in Houston and kind of had his name kind of drug through the mud for his play style, whether it fit in this modern NBA. Portland, just because they needed a wing desperately, just due to the rash of injuries they had, not only picked up Melo, but basically promised to kind of protect his legacy in the way that he played. This is the one team in the NBA that not only allowed him to play the way that he likes to play, but almost encouraged that style. And yes, it being a ball-stopping type of offense, yes, him being the main hub, in this case for second units mostly. To begin with, he had kind of the starting spot his first year in Portland, second year definitely just more of a reserve role. But I think that not only rejuvenated himself and the amount of years he still had to basketball, but also raised his stock in the eyes of viewers all over, seeing that, yes, the guy could still play, even if he wasn't a perfect fit for the spacing for that is prioritized now that the NBA was kind of forcing Carmelo to go into. And I think in a weird way, it actually helped Carmelo to be the player that we'll talk about later and how he fits with the Lakers, because that is basically the quintessential spacing for we would like to have now from Melo 3 or 4 years ago. But it took him a little longer to adjust to that. And Portland was the perfect spot to kind of let him, you know, acquiesce to like the modern role he has now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Growing up, actually living in Buffalo, closest team, maybe technically it was Brooklyn. I still don't know for sure. But the Knicks were my team when I started playing basketball for the school in Newfane, eighth grade, all the way to my senior year. Knicks were my team. Carmelo had played at Syracuse, which was very close to Buffalo in relation to other major cities. And I wasn't old enough to have ever had the honor of seeing him play at Syracuse live or anything like that. But just the stories my friends would tell that were a little bit older. My dad said how crazy it was the year he won the championship with Boeheim at Syracuse, his rookie year there. And I grew up with him. And I do have to say, once he came to the Blazers, his defense was just astounding when it needed to be at many times. And I didn't know that was an element he had to his game. And I think you probably saw him bring that out more with the Blazers when he was, you know, going from out of the league somehow to competing for roster spots and stuff like that. And I just love the story of, you know, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. They wanted him. And they had started early in his search after leaving the Knicks and then Rockets and Thunder. They were always active on Twitter saying, you know, like, how is this man not in the league? And I think that really inspired him to want to play for Portland, want to play for Terry Stotts, that these guys wanted him bad, you know? So I loved his tenure in Portland. Watching him go up against LeBron, like back in the old days, back when he was with the Knicks and they were playing the Heat in the playoffs, really brought me back to my childhood. Part of the reason I fell in love watching basketball were those Heat-Knicks games. Unfortunately, my fan support for the Knicks, usually I was let down. But when you're going up against Wade, Bosch, and LeBron, it's just awesome to see those guys all in the same court, you know? So, yeah, like Corbin said, getting into his role with the Lakers a little bit more, like Corbin said, it just kind of set him up for this role with the Lakers, you know, some games in the playoffs against the Nuggets this previous postseason, playing as many as 30 minutes in one of the games. And I think you see him poised for this role. I saw you guys on hashtag Lakers Instagram posted over the summer, I believe, one of his workout videos, and it just goes to show that he's always in the lab.
He is, man. He always, I mean, every time I scroll down, I see a video of him working out with Chris Brickley and company, dude. Or he's promoting his new book, right?
Yeah.
Right now.
Making the rounds.
Exactly. One of the things that I want to talk about is 3-point shooting, but, I want to, save that. And why don't we go ahead and take a break? And when we come back, we'll talk about, you guys have sort of alluded to it already, but sort of his role, what you guys envision his role will be with the Lakers, you know, sort of the expectations that he'll sort of have here in La La Land and sort of, you know, what, you know, how Melo is going to fit really with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, right? And that new big three there. Let's stay tuned, guys, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Welcome back to the hashtag Lakers podcast. I'm here with Rob and Corbin, and yeah, let's talk about before the break. We talked about sort of Melo's tenure with Portland, and now we'll sort of pivot from that and segue into sort of how Melo will be, you know, fit alongside LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, what his role is going to be, what expectations are going to be here. Before I get to that, I do want to talk about how recently, you know, I talked about in the previous segment, Melo promoting his new book, right? And he recently went on an interview on a podcast, Million Dollars podcast, and look, he basically called LeBron James a GM, and when answering that question, the question was like, how did LeBron recruit you, right? And so, basically, what happened was LeBron phoned him, bro, it's time, dude, bro, it's time, and Melo was like, all right, say less, and then that was it, that was the whole thing, and. But you know, it's pretty funny to me that the Melo would call LeBron James GM, and then he had another interview with Drew Barrymore, I think, on her show, and he's like, "Yeah, LeBron forced me, man. LeBron forced me."
Surprised it didn't happen before 2021, to be honest,
dude. Yeah, I know, right? I'm glad that they're back together, back together. As in, I know that they played in the Olympics, right? As teammates, but this is the first time ever in the NBA that they're together. So this is exciting. So let's talk about that and sort of talk about, you know, his role, his expectations here, how he's going to fit with you guys. I want to get your perspective on this.
As far as Melo, I think his role with the Lakers is going to be a lot more clearly defined. We already know this coming in. Obviously, Lakers revamping their roster. There's a clear pecking order. I mean, you know it's LeBron, you know it's AD, you know it's Russell Westbrook. After that, whatever the supporting cast can provide is going to be great. I think Melo is, again, another a situation that is to his advantage, because his three-point shooting, you alluded to before we went on break, is great. He shot 38% from three in his first season in Portland. That jumped up to 40% from three the second year. Consistent, reliable on that. He's definitely made himself more of that spot-up shooter that does space the floor from that four position. I could even see him maybe an occasion playing like small ball five, rarely. Between AD and, you know, Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan, that's probably not going to happen, but it's possible the Lakers go super small and decide not to use AD at the five. But going back to that, his rebounding did kind of create a little bit. He had like 6 rebounds per game his first year with Portland. He played like 8 less minutes this past season. That dropped in half. And then in the postseason, he played 12 less minutes and had the consistent 3 boards a game that he averaged last season. But you can depend on some solid scoring, some solid shooting, definitely spacing the floor if you're going to run lineups, and you're going to need them with AD on the floor and, you know, one of Russell Westbrook or LeBron, just to have some league average to above league average shooting on the floor alongside maybe him and maybe a Wayne Ellington or a Kent Bazemore. He's going to be one of the standout three-point shooters whose job will be just that. But I could also see him playing a role where he is, I mean, the offense, run through the offense for a couple minutes at a time, a lesser version of what the Lakers did with Montrezl Harrell last year. And this, again, would be staggered, of course, because between LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook, you already have that main offensive initiator, whether that's scoring or distributing the ball. But with him, you have someone else that you could kind of, you know, take some minutes off for these guys while they're on the floor and let him operate, you know, 15 feet to the basket, the kind of game that Melo's played all his career. Defensively, I mean, it was good the first year considering, you know, what everyone knew of Melo. And I think that the bandwagon of, oh, he's a bad defender, it kind of just really taken off up till he was out the league. So when he came back to Portland, it was a little bit refreshing to see, okay, no, he can kind of hold his own in a position where he doesn't have to move laterally too much. He can kind of use his strength and stand up as a defender, definitely play more of a four, again, that kind of position. But laterally now, especially another year, I mean, all due respect, he is 37. That shot, you know, you're not going to see him. He's most definitely a four. You don't want to have him on switches. We saw that during his last couple of years in OKC, or his last year in OKC before that Houston experiment, where the Jazz and Donovan Mitchell were relentlessly, whenever he's on the floor, all right, ball screen, let's get him out, let's bring him out. And it was not pretty. I mean, the Thunder were better when he was off the floor then. So that hasn't gotten better with age, I will just say that. But him knowing where to be on the defensive end, this is a veteran Lakers team. So I think that between a coach like Frank Vogel, who is known to put players in the best position to succeed on the defensive end, as well as smart, just veteran savvy from being in the league, you know, 18 years, I think that will somewhat mitigate the physical deficiencies that Melo has at this stage of his career on that end. But ultimately, it's going to be a very interesting year for Carmelo, but I actually like this fit. It's like a hand in glove for the Lakers, in my opinion.
Yeah, I definitely agree on all fronts, honestly. The offensive end, you know what Melo is able to do, especially Hoodie Melo. you know what Melo is going to give you on the offensive end. He's just 2 years removed from 15.4 a game with the Blazers. And that's during a regular season when the Blazers, you know, their competition was tough from the jump, playing the Lakers very early into the season, 2019-2020, as well as I believe this year they played him pretty early in the season. But you see him have, you know, over 20 minutes a game in Stotts' offense, and defense wasn't really an emphasis last year, as we know, with the Blazers. But they were so productive on offense, they were still able to get by at times. I think with the Lakers, you have dogs, absolute dogs on the defensive end, as far as Anthony Davis and Kendrick Nunn, who, if they're, you know, going at 100% in the regular season, like they always are, when they're at 100%, I should say, obviously they both had injury issues, but when they are at 100% on the defensive end, you're looking at two guys that could make all NBA defensive team. So hopefully Melo will be able to save some of his, you know, defensive abilities for the playoffs, especially if they are to play, you know, what looks to be a lot of people's favorites as Bucks, Lakers in the finals. He's going to have to play defense in those games. So it'll be interesting to see, as far as the regular season goes, what his role is, you know, off the bench now that he's comfortable with that role. Two or three years ago, you probably guys remember him saying that he would not take a bench role. The Blazers sold him on that, sold him that he'd get more minutes off the bench essentially than starting. And so it'll be at the very least exciting to see, you know, didn't have the best luck with Russell and PG with the Thunder, but I don't think he was as hungry as he's going to be this year playing with LeBron at that time. Obviously, Russell and PG, very successful players, have both made deep runs with, obviously, Paul George with the Thunder going to a conference finals against a very solid Heat team. And then Russell Westbrook all those years with the Thunder going to the conference finals and finals a few times. So I think you'll see him playing his best basketball yet again that he did the last 2 years for his age. Obviously what he did with the Nuggets and Knicks has him slated to be a Hall of Famer. But I think it'll be very exciting to see what he has to offer this team. Should they all be healthy, fingers crossed, because even as a Blazers fan, I love seeing this team healthy, man. And you know, Talen Horton Tucker, Dwight Howard, Carmelo, pretty solid players to, you know, have at the four and five positions at times. So it'll be exciting to see. And another thing, probably the last point that I have on Carmelo with the Lakers, Montrezl Harrell's minutes not being there. I think you see him get at least 15, 20 minutes some nights.
Yeah, man, I really think that he's going to play a similar role that he played with the Blazers. Like, I think that really set him up, like you guys said, for this team. And that's probably why, you know, I think he's just going to fit seamlessly to the team. I think he's going to be that catch and shoot guy that you guys have mentioned, especially in the corners. I see Russ, Bron, even THT or Rondo taking it to the rim, penetrating to the rim, and then the defense collapsing, obviously, and then boom, kick it out to the corner, Melo, money. Yeah. So, you know, getting all those looks, I think he's going to get a lot of those looks this year. And not just him, just a lot of players, just because of how the Lakers have sort of constructed this roster. Then I see, you know, I think like you guys have alluded to him sort of around that 15-foot range. I think he's going to occasionally take that ISO mid-range shot that he loves, right? And he's great at it. I mean, why not let him take it? He loves to do it, and he's very good with it, so why not? Defensively, obviously, I think I have my concerns about there, but I put a lot of faith and hope on Coach Vogel. I mean, just the way that he schemes his defenses, it's individualized, right? That he sets up players to be successful in the strengths and even in the weaknesses that they have. That's the kind of coach that he is, really helps the players, each player, be the best defensive player that they can be. I mean, he turned a below average defender, Kuzma, into one of the best defenders that the Lakers had on the roster last year, and in the last 2 years. So obviously Kuzma is way younger, a decade younger than Melo, and that's another thing. That's another side topic, right? A lot of these younger kids are calling LaMelo Ball Melo, and I still call him Melo.
We gotta stop that. I mean, it's ridiculous. The guy is still very much in the league. Like,
right, exactly. Serious?
Come on, what has he done? I mean, I get it. Like, we're quick to shorten names and everything, but like, Melo is still here. Like, let the guy retire first.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, I hate that.
100%, man.
I hate that. Yeah. Call him something. I mean, he's LaMelo. He's not Melo.
Exactly. Exactly. There you go. I don't even know what you'll call him. That's not my job. I'm not here to tell you what you should name him. You just can't name him Melo. Like, that's all.
Exactly.
That name's taken.
Yeah. No. Look, I feel like he's super focused this year. Like every interview he's had, he's talking about, you know, I've won at every level except for getting this championship. Mm-hmm. You know, this is it. This is a must have for him.
If you look at this team, they have a lot of desperation. I agree with you. Like, you look at Russ, you look at, like you said, Melo. A lot of these guys have played a long time in their career, DeAndre Jordan, have not gotten there, and they want that. So I agree with you completely. Melo's at this point where it's like, I mean, he's year 18 and going 37, going to be 38 by the time this year's over. Like, there's a line coming up very soon on his career, and I think he's cognizant of that fact.
Yeah, and you look at Russell Westbrook's age, I mean, he's still at an age where he can he can play over 30 minutes. It's just he's got to watch his body preservation. And I think having LeBron as GM, no, just kidding. I think having LeBron kind of there to mentor, even the older guys, he's got a lot of advice for how to, you know, preserve your body, what to do in pregame, what to do in postgame. And I think you see some of these guys play a lot more games than people expect. If LeBron's able to kind of, you know, give some advice to Russ, AD continued, and Melo, I think you see some of these guys play a lot of games that some guys expect, you know, miss a lot of games with injury. I think LeBron's one of the best players to help get his team, you know, right for this season.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. Look, LeBron's mini camp is this weekend. They're in Vegas. They're meeting up. They're going to do some chemistry building in Vegas. So we all know what that means. I don't know how much basketball they're going to play.
A little bit of wine, right? A little fine wine, a book club maybe.
Maybe a book club. That's what that might be it. Chemistry building, book club in Vegas.
There you go.
You had shared a few weeks ago to maybe even a month ago, Kendrick's workout videos. And that got a lot of buzz because he just looked so amazing, like you had pointed out. Was he training at all in New York City with Melo?
Dude, I don't know. Honestly, there's been so many videos that have been posted. I don't know why Lakers players have been posting their videos like crazy this offseason, but there's been a ton of them. I know that a few of them have met up and sort of, you know, played together, and they've gone to the Lakers facility to kind of work out and do some drills, especially with Phil Handy. So I've been excited. I've been pumped to see all of that, but I'm really excited to see this training camp that's coming up next weekend for all the NBA players, for all the NBA, and then obviously we have media day coming up. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see Melo in Lakers uniform, his number 7, the new Bibigo, the new Bibigo patch, and the gold. The diamond, like Nike. That's pretty nice. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to see that.
Well, I had recognized, kind of why I asked that question, I had recognized the gym Carmelo was in as the gym where CJ does all of his crazy workouts for his shooting. Yeah,
in New York, right? Yeah. Right. So, that's Chris Brickley's place.
That's definitely one of the places I want to try to see next time I go to New York City. Last time I was there,
just knock.
I stayed at what'd you say?
I know where you're going.
Just knock.
Even to just see it in person would be an honor, just because so many great players have practiced at that gym.
Right.
But I stayed at Hotel there. Philadelphia, right near MSG. And I did not have the bread at the time for a tour of MSG, or I would have been all over that. But this was 2018. Yeah. It was just an honor to see MSG and then go to Brooklyn and see some of like the historical basketball courts. Didn't make it to Rucker Park in you know, the area of New York, major famous courts, but was definitely awesome to see it. And like you said, all these guys are just releasing crazy amounts of the videos. It used to be just J.R. Smith, I feel like. And now it's like all of his bros kind of like, yeah, I mean, you can promote your brand. And you can show the work you're putting in. I'd love to see some Damian Lillard workout videos, but I think he keeps those in the vault. We know what he does every year. We know he works on something that he's, you know, not his top skill, and just absolutely refines it. Like this past year, some of his passing, man, just blew me away on those national games. I couldn't believe some of his 10 plus assist games. So a lot of exciting things coming up. Like you said, media day.
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
A lot of exciting things coming up.
I'm pumped.
Here, man. That's my favorite time of the year, is when the season's finally getting rolling. You see some of those rookies go off a little bit.
People, you know, players fighting for spots, and that's why, you know, that's probably one of the reasons why you see all these workout videos, because they're trying to show their coach, hey, what's up? Look at me, man.
Well, got it. Yeah. I never lost it. You know,
never lost it. I've been working all off season.
Exactly.
But the training camps where you know, it's the refiner's fire. That's the place where you have to prove your mettle. Mm. But Matt, Rob, Corbin, appreciate you guys hopping on the show here. Really appreciate you guys joining the pod and helping me here at preview Carmelo for the Lakers. But I think that does it for today. So, guys, you can catch us on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and many other listening platforms. Do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcast, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate the follows and all the reviews, and help us continue to produce this show. You can also follow us on Twitter at #LakerPod and on Instagram at #Lakers. Guys, with that said, have a great day, root for the Lakers, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
In the Admiral refrigerator, the door is closed, the lights out, butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.